We'll probably spend about a year on Jeremiah. Jeremiah is total America. And we've been over this, but some folks haven't heard that. So if they haven't read Jeremiah with America in mind, read through Jeremiah and be thinking of America. It's just that Christians, who Jeremiah is talking to God's people, Christians today, if they're truly a Christian, don't have to fear the consequences of what Jeremiah is saying. That's one difference. And yet, America does need to be aware of the fact that what Jeremiah is saying will happen to America. Does that make sense? I mean, we don't have to sweat that aspect of it. What we have to learn to deal with is America is falling apart as Jeremiah describes it. And even though we're going to be raptured or die, go to be with him, present with the Lord, that type of a thing, we're going to be in this little red wagon that's breaking. Like we talk about, you know, the ladies need to somehow do the best they can to let their husbands just kind of, you know, pull the wagon and lead the thing. And when the wagon is falling apart, that's his problem. Well, it's his problem, but you're the one in the wagon that is falling apart. And I realize that's a hard thing to be. We are in a wagon that's falling apart. And we're fine. We're safe in it. But we don't enjoy this wagon falling apart, you know, the country. So then that aspect of it, we don't need to personally fear what it is that Jeremiah is saying. However, one of the things I've always liked to do is when I see a situation, and maybe this is where the picking and choosing, rightly dividing comes about in some ways. Picking and choosing is they don't rightly divide by book. They rightly divide by their knowledge of all the book. And that's a huge thing, by the way. I mean, that means you can pick and choose this verse right here, and then you can pick and choose this verse right here. You can skip this. This isn't to us, and this one is, and this one isn't. I've heard it where some verses have been split in half with a semicolon, that this verse is for us and this verse is not for us. I hear that stuff. And you have to go to Bible college to learn how to do that, and people are very impressed because they still can't keep up with it. They're totally trusting in your decision what is rightly dividing. Now, in our case, the way this Bible is divided, you don't have to trust me. I mean, it's obvious which books are to you. And so you're on your own with that Bible. I mean, you can be on your own with that Bible. So they really complicate, and that's our crowd, they really complicate things by rightly dividing verses. I just think that's terrible that they do that. So when you say to somebody that you rightly divide, and they say, oh, yeah, so do we, chances are they don't rightly divide by book. They really don't. Very few that I've run across that do. So anyway, that's kind of later on stuff. Jeremiah, chapter 1. Now, we just got done doing Isaiah, and a couple things about Jeremiah as a person. He's about 100 years after Isaiah, so about as old as LD, kids. That's about when Jeremiah came about, after Isaiah. Everything else had fallen apart. Isaiah had pretty much saved Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was Isaiah's crowning glory and such. He was able to keep Jerusalem from being clobbered by the enemy. But now with Jeremiah, Jerusalem's falling apart. I mean, what's left on this in their life is now falling apart. Everything else is already falling apart around them. Their little haven of Jerusalem is now falling apart, and Babylon is the crowd that's going to get them. So Jeremiah is telling these people that Jerusalem is about to fall. I mean, and that's like us. The world is totally a disaster. I mean, totally a disaster. And we've always had America to stay in the borders and just be happy here and keep them out of here and the whole thing. But we see Nebuchadnezzar as such coming in through the borders and the country is falling apart. We see that. And that's the same thing that Jeremiah was doing at that time. So the as it says here, the hour of doom is about to strike. And we know what's going to happen to America. The hour of doom is about to strike. As I was telling somebody at the fair yesterday, the Katrina, all that kind of stuff, that is not God's judgment. That is God stepping out of the way and letting things happen to America that we never had happen before. Whenever we would have tragedies, it'd be like 20 dead. Maybe 30, but very seldom anything big like that. And now we're having big numbers. We've never had that. I guess I shouldn't say never. There's that big hurricane down in Johnson. Every now and then there's a couple of big ones, but nothing like we're having today. So God's judgment is not happening yet. I mean, this is not God's judgment. But we can sense it. But we also know we will be taken out before that happens. So there's a joy there that we can rest in that thing. Out in the world during Jeremiah's time, remember these names, Assyria, That's a big enemy. The world is even fighting amongst themselves. Assyria is after Jerusalem, Babylon, and Egypt. And you'll hear us talk about Egypt a lot as a bad place, according to the Bible, and it is. Matter of fact, it's so bad that all the new modern Bibles come from Egypt. So Egypt is not. They may have tall pyramids and all that kind of stuff, and some pretty looking camels, if that's possible. But it's not a good place. It's not in God's eyes. Egypt is an enemy. Assyria is an enemy. Babylon is an enemy. And those are the people that are squabbling and fighting, and Jerusalem's about to just fall apart because of that, because they're going after Jerusalem. Now Jeremiah has a mission. Everybody has a mission. What is your mission? Well, to grow up. And your goal is to be a godly woman, a wife to some man. Just so you know that. Right? And so what is Jeremiah's mission? Well, it's interesting because here are five things that the Christian world say about Jeremiah, the Bible crowd, and they're good, they're true. He's the mission of Judah, mission of Jeremiah. Number one, Judah is going to be destroyed by Babylon. Okay, so what's left of God, Babylon is the enemy. Okay, so he's got to tell those people. And his mission was to tell Judah, the God's people, if they turn from their wickedness, God would save them. If they turn their lives from their wickedness, God would save them. So that's one of his messages. And yet he says also, when he knows there's no hope, he actually tells them to get along with the government that's overtaking them. That's an interesting part of Jeremiah. He says, listen, you're dead. You're dying. You're going to fall apart. The best thing that you could do would be just back off and just go along with them. And you can still do what you can do with your family. You can still do what you can do with God. But don't fight the government. That's basically Jeremiah's message. And I remember when I first read that, and that's towards the end of Jeremiah. Remember, we never have gone through the last part of Jeremiah. We've touched on it, but we've just never, it wasn't clicking. So, Jeremiah's message, listen, you're going to die. I mean, this place is falling apart. Now, stay out of the mess. And what does Paul say? Something about the affairs of this life. Yeah, don't get caught up in this mess. I mean, the ship is going to sink, so, you know, kind of stay away from that thing. But don't go out after it. Let God take care of that thing. So that's the message that we'll kind of touch on here maybe next week. And then he says to the Babylon crowd, I mean, yeah, you're gonna win. And he says to God's people, yes, Babylon is going to win and get along with them. But just so you know, they are going to fall. And God is going to put the number on them. And God is going to bring you back. So that's Jeremiah's message to the people. And so we know the same thing. Yes, we need to, here we are, obey the laws, pay all that kind of stuff. It's going to crumble, and we will still be taken care of. So look at Israel. Look at all the Jews in general. Tribulation coming up. They're going to get the spanking of their life, and yet God's going to bring them back, and the world is going to be destroyed. So, but there's one thing that they miss with Jeremiah. On this list of summary type stuff of Jeremiah, and it's pretty interesting, but there's one thing they miss. Jeremiah's message is to tell God's people that they are rejecting what? God's words. His words. That's why I get so excited about reading Jeremiah. What I like to do is I like to find verses that say what I want to say, but the Bible says it better. You ever seen that? It may not even be an applicable verse to us or whatever, but the way he says something, it's like, man, nobody can say that any better than how he said it right there. And Jeremiah is full of verses. If I had a photographic or photographic, or whatever the word is, memory, I would like to memorize Jeremiah's verses. So when we talk to these people at the fair, you trust in lying words or something. I just wish I could do that, because that's what they're doing. You know, why trimmest all thy way to seek love? That's totally what's going on today. We'll talk about that later. Got special service today. So anyway, here are some other people that are in Jeremiah's time. Ezekiel, he's coming up after Jeremiah. So we're going to learn about this Ezekiel guy just a little bit. Daniel, he's around. Daniel here, Daniel's in the palace, is in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. I mean, he's on the inside. Ooh. You know, maybe Sam someday can get a job at the government up there, if he can be the governor's assistant. Maybe even the governor. See, and you can kind of tell some of the stuff that's going on within the palace. See, and Paul got into the palace and talked to people. I mean, this is Daniel. You got Habakkuk, you got Zephaniah. They're working with Jeremiah, Nahum, and Obadiah. So what we see is we can, you know, if we pay attention to this Old Testament stuff, it isn't just book and book, and we're done with all the books of Old Testament. I mean, they're all entangled in there still somewhere. They're all guys are still kind of working together for the whole thing. It's a study thing. And if you study properly, what won't you be? Ashamed. Because you'll suppose you know what's going on. Okay, so what are we going to do with Jeremiah today? Didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare this thing. Don't have to. Anybody got your Bible verses marked? Any verses in Jeremiah? I mean, what's there to talk about here? What do I have to show you anything? We're just going to look at some key verses that are just key verses that Jeremiah is telling his people. So before we do that, I mean, if Jeremiah's mission is to tell people they're rejecting God's words, let's see how Jeremiah tells people they're rejecting God's words. And let's listen as well as tell somebody else. See, it's very easy, and we do this at the booth, it's very easy for us to see what's going on out there, and the observation we made this last couple of days is we have seen religion in its, and we've seen all this stuff before, but it's worse. It's just worse. So we're able to identify religion. And I got a sermon about religion, what God thinks of religion. I'll show you what's going on in modern religion. But you know what we still have? We still have religion. So instead of just totally knocking all the people that are out there and looking at what Jeremiah says to everybody that's out there, how are we with God's words? I mean, what kind of words do we reject? Well, we're about to get into Timothy I wonder if maybe we're not going to reject some of those words. Maybe some of the way Jeremiah says things that we can learn from this guy. Is that possible? Are you willing? Yeah, right. Oh, yes, Pastor. Tell us what we need to hear. You got a Bible. You've already read what you need to hear. I just got to embarrass you a little bit, I guess. I don't know. No, I can't do that. Paul's stuff is not there to shame us. It's to what? What's the word? Well, yeah, he's going to edify, but he says basically to warn. I'm not here to shame you, but I do need to warn you. You know, so he edifies you in the process, and so we need to be warned. You ever try to warn some of these people out there? I'm telling you, the booth is a once-a-year experience. I didn't want to go again, and I don't want to go again next time. But you don't experience what you see there anywhere else. It's like going to Las Vegas. You go to Las Vegas and there's everything money can buy. I mean, and there's all the money. The buildings, the fountains, I mean, everything the world has to offer is in Las Vegas. You go to Las Vegas and you realize it's just vanity. It's just a waste of time. It's amazing. Okay, here we go. Jeremiah chapter 1, let's go down to verse 6. We obviously can't do the whole thing. I guess we should go to verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, and that's Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The guy didn't stand a chance. I mean, he was in the ministry. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Why don't you want to come and do the booth? You don't know what to say. You don't know how to say this kind of stuff. Well, did you the first? I remember we were all kind of panicky that first thing. And we know that when we prepare for this booth, we know nobody's going to ask those questions. They're going to come up and hit you with something else. So what does he say to Jeremiah? But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Okay? What does he give up? How do we know what to say it when we talk to these people? You got a Bible. Now, if you haven't studied your Bible, what are you going to be? Ashamed. because you don't have the answer for these people. And I know you know you've read it. You've seen it. You've even got it underlined, but you cannot find it in the spur of this angry moment these people fling at you. And you want to just kind of whack them with the book. That's amazing. When you see these folks coming, you kind of get out of the way and let Jerry sit there in the chair, and Jerry gets all the hot ones here. And he stands up and he tries to deal with them. And you can see him, shoulders are kind of crumped forward, and he wants to strangle, but he's showing them stuff. And it's just, but you hear this stuff, and it helps you as a Christian realize where you could have been, actually, in some ways. Be not afraid of their faces, he says in verse 8. Even if their faces have everything from the hardware store, from all over the place. Remember the one guy, you can't even talk normal because you got this bolt in your mouth, We used to be afraid of Frankenstein because he had bolts coming out of his head and all that stuff, but now they do it on purpose. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Remember the one kid you were talking to that's got the lip thing here, and he's got the marks all over his arms, and he doesn't, what is it, he believes in God but not the Bible?
Right.
So how did you find out about God? But through this book you don't believe. And it's one of those kind of things. But while you were talking with him, I sat down in the chair and I just kind of sat like this, and I just stared at this kid for minutes. Every now and then his eyes would look over, and then he'd go back and talk to you and look over there. Oh, I enjoyed that. It's just like, dagger. a Bible's tearing you up, kid. Kind of a deal. It's just a kid. We were never like that. The only metal we had was our brain. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. We have the Bible in our hands. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, he gave us all the words we need to have here. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And again, I could stay here for the rest of the day. This is Old Testament. This is Jeremiah. We know Jesus Christ is the foundation, right? We know that Paul is the master builder. We're totally aware of that. But even before you put down the foundation, like I'm not a builder, okay? I wouldn't even do the correct foundation on a building. You saw the shed out there. You've seen my work. But those of you that are akin to building, that's just kind of slipped, a good word slipped there. And you got to prepare the ground before you put your foundation down. I see them in the highways. They don't just lay a bunch of blacktop. They got to prepare and they flatten and they pack it and all this kind of stuff. We tend to think we got Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's our foundation. Now we're into Paul. And I still believe without a shadow of a doubt, some of the problems we all individually have is because we never have rooted out and taken down some of the stuff that we need to still get rid of. And it's called religion. That's what's heading our way. May not do Timothy right away because we still got to understand religion. We've got religion in different ways. And look what it says. Okay, root out. Okay? Pull down, that means everywhere, up and down, and to destroy, and that's not enough, is it? What is else you have? You got to throw it down. You ever done that? I mean, just picture this. You tear something around here, and you crumble it up, and you tear it up, then what do you do? And that's what we got to do with this stuff. We have to take whatever religion we have. I have none. This religion and the things of whatever's in our life, we need to just tear down, we need to destroy it, and maybe you've done that to some of that stuff. But you know, if you hang on to it, you still got it. And that dust and the dirt and the nails, they can still stab you. We have got to take whatever it is that we've got to take to get rid of it, but we got to also throw it down and just get rid of it. And I don't know how many people are ready for that. Because it really is, you're getting the weeds out of there, you're getting the concrete, you're getting the junk out of there, and you've already got the foundation, so it's kind of hard to go back and check the ground again when your foundation is already there and you've already started your building, which you have. Maybe. Ever wonder about that? then maybe the reason you're having such a struggle with the foundation, or you're just having a hard time building, maybe it's because you got a fake foundation, and you got to still get back, and you got to deal with all this garbage that's keeping you from even putting up the foundation. I mean, there's all sorts of ways only God could tell you in your reading, if you're reading, where you're at. So, and you know the devil doesn't want us to get rid of this stuff. He would much rather have us mingle all this garbage into that little building that we're trying to build. You know, whatever. Did you do that with your house? When you're going to tear off some of that junk before you just build around it? Still. Yeah. Boy, now if I really wanted to wing this thing, we could probably find tons of examples, but we won't do that. Things happen. Okay, so we won't do that. And also says, let's go to 30. Let's go to chapter 31 just for a minute here. Who's that? Who did hinder you? Hey, who did hinder you? Who are you? Or we're gonna bounce you. Right, and tell us who you are. How'd you get in, and who are you? Maybe we know you, which is fine. I hope we do. Don't cause any trouble, or we'll stick Jeremiah on you. Chapter 31, verse 28. See, there it is again. Verse 27, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Ever seen your kids just angry at you? There's the teeth on the edge. Ever seen Dad with a sour look on his face? Or Mom? There's all sorts of things going. Jeremiah is today. I mean, you have a good time with Jeremiah. Let's go back to chapter 3 now. You've probably got some verses that you've got marked. I've got some verses that I have marked, and I'm just going to share them with you this morning. They're going to be the same verses you've got in some cases. I'm sure they are. Verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. There are so many things that we do this every night, you know that. We could do Jeremiah, Timothy stuff. We could just have such a good time. But we're busy. Chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. We won't even do that. I mean, acknowledge what you still haven't thrown down and destroyed. Well, it's nobody's business. I know it's nobody's business. It's God's business, and it's our business, individually, for ourselves. Look at chapter 2, verse 33. Chapter 2. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Oh man, this can just take all day here. Parents. Why do you back off to seek their love? Why do you not do what you need to do? Now there may be some reasons. Maybe God doesn't want you to. Maybe you realize you're thinking something. Maybe you're not solid about doing something. A major step on your part as a parent. That's fine. Don't be quick to clobber. But sometimes we don't do things for our kids or to our kids, or we take them someplace, or we just do something. We buy them something because we're seeking love. And why do you get them something you know they shouldn't get? So they love you. Why do you go do an activity that you know has got some questions in there and it's going to cause a modesty issue or whatever, but you're doing it because you want to have the family get together? But you're trimming your ways. Why do we trim our ways? To seek love. And when you do that, it says you're also teaching the wicked one your ways. The world watches you. When we make the stand that we've made as Touche Baptist Church, King James only, rightly dividing, Pastor Paulson. What was the one we did yesterday? Paulsonites. Paulites, yeah, Paulites. And then we went to Paulsonites, you know. Is that what people think about this whole thing? What are we doing? Just don't think any of these sermons here. Let's look at chapter 5. We teach them. They see us trimming our ways. They know that you make a modesty stand and you back off. They see that change and they think you're a hypocrite and they'll never listen to you again. That's really true. If you don't go some certain place, here we go. The fair. I know. Sore subject. I know. Sore subject. So you don't go to the fair. You make your stand. But maybe a couple of weeks ago you went someplace you shouldn't have been. Or maybe in a couple of days you're going to go someplace else that you know you shouldn't go. And you just showed the wicked or the lost or the confused or whatever your real true ways. That you will trim your way to seek love. So why won't you trim your way here just to go to the fair? Right. Well, you know, make a call. And when you make the call, stand on that thing and don't trim your ways just to seek love. I'd like to have a couple. I mean, the kids, they always say, you know, it'd be nice if we had one friend. And you ladies, it'd be nice if I had one horse I could talk to. You know. You know, put a horse in the bar, out in the corral, and tie them all individually. They're going to do everything they can to get in there and talk to each other and nip at each other and kick each other and all that kind of stuff. The horses do. How you doing? Mr. Ed. Mr. and Mrs. Ed. Anyway. You know, you who's on there today? What?
Lloyd, Sam, Mark, Vern, Kamala's, Painter's, Bill, and who did hinder you? Which is a
what?
Mark, you won't tell me his name, but
who is it?
Is it CBI?
Okay, that's okay. And but he's there because of Mark or something?
No, Mark I am them,
so. Mark. Oh, TBA guy, huh? Okay. So why did I ask that question? What were we talking about?
Horse.
Oh, the horse thing. You know, this is fair week and all that stuff. And I know you ladies think I hate ladies and all that stuff. But the biggest thing that stood out to me at the fair this week was just loud, obnoxious, immodest, rude females. They just bugged me. They really did. They just, and you had one that wants to be a preacher. Minister. Mouthy lady, girl. And I just said, you know, one of the things, which I'm not good at this, one of the things you have to do as a pastor is to listen. So you can't even listen here in a conversation. Not that I'm a good listener, but of course it depends what you're telling me. You know, some stuff is really interesting. Let's go on here to chapter 5. Oh, that's probably noisy in there. Sorry. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Now, you can see some verses in here where our guys, our Bible-believing graduate, college graduate, or a certain person's graduate name, I can say it, Ruckman graduates or Hiles graduates or whatever you want to call these guys, they tend to want to go out there and just burn down the forest with their Bible. And they really do. And I understand that because there are a lot of people that we see or talk to that you want to just burn them with a book. And there's also people that you find yourself listening to, talking with them, being the nice guy, not putting the fire to him, like talking with Pete or these other guys that come around. Pete's buddy, the big kid. Their mouth is just crummy. It's filthy. And I get tired of that. I get tired of all this peace stuff that everybody talks about out there. And you want to just get out your blowtorch and say, you know what? And you're done. I don't like this ecumenical thing. And I find myself, are we doing this ecumenical thing in some ways? Now, first thing I think of is, now wait a minute, what does Paul say? I don't look at this verse in Jeremiah 5:14. I cannot look to this verse for our ministry today. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would. And this people would. And shall devour them. There's going to come a time when this Bible, this is the judgment. This is what's going to devour them. This is what's going to light them on fire. At the judgment, at their judgment, with the white stone judgment. That's what's going to take place. Our works are going to be put to this fire. But from what Paul says, we cannot be the blowtorch. That is not what Paul says. So these guys that come out of these colleges ready to win, just like a kid coming out of college or high school, they come out of there ready to change the world because now we finally know how the answers come. Because I am now here. You get that point. Anybody been, you get that way. I know it's a dumb thing. But we cannot come out of here and go to that fairgrounds and burn everybody. That's not the way God wants us to talk to people. And boy, your thumb is on the clicker, isn't it? It's just, and you can find some verses that will burn them, but that's not you burning them. That's the Bible burning them. It's not us. And I am very disappointed. I'm very disgusted with our Bible-believing graduates who go on the streets and they go on the corners and they go to different places. They come to the fair booth that they would, if we'd ever let them, and they would actually ignite the stuff. And that is not right. You cannot show me in Paul's books where that is what we are supposed to do. This Bible will do that, but that is not our ministry. And they will go to this verse right here, and they say, look at that right there. My words are fire. I'm going to devour it. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. I hope they heard that out there in PBI land or Hiles land or whatever. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. We're just looking at what Jeremiah says about God's words. That's all we're looking at here. There's all sorts of details between. Jeremiah 6, 19. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words. And then it says, nor to my law. So we know where that fits with us today. You know, we're not trying to put the law on people. We're trying to get them to accept Christ's righteousness, Christ who is God's righteousness, trying to get them to accept his walk, and he will take care of the law. So we're not demanding people follow God's law, but we're trying to tell people how to follow their rightly divided Bible. So we know how to bring Jeremiah into Paul's days here. But he does say, because they have not hearkened unto my words. But look at the phrase, fruit of their thoughts even. I mean, the fruit of our thoughts could backfire on us. It's possible. Here's one of my favorite ones, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words. That's Bible translations. That's all these different Bibles that are out there. That's so many different pastors and preachers. I mean, they're lying to their people. They're just lying to their people. I got done with this one girl yesterday, Ashley's friend, and she goes to Faithline Baptist, and she's a Baptist girl, which didn't mean a whole lot to her, but she's going to go into a place that's Baptist-y anyway. And I showed her the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. It was a marvelous time. I mean, I just so enjoy that. And by the time, you know what my notes look like, they're all just scribble and all that. And then I said, now, by the way, you go back and you take these things I said to you and you show these to your youth pastor and see what he says. I'm going to tell you what he's going to say. Da-da-da-da. And he's lying to you. Woohoo! You know, he's lying to you. Or else he doesn't understand. Either way, it's a lie. Whether either way, it's a lie. It's a teaching lie. So, they're trusting in lying words. And then he says here, trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Because see, that's where God was at then. So what do we say today? What are you hearing TV all the time? God says, God says, God says. Well, how do you know that? Well, God, I just know in the heart, remember the girl, you know, in the heart he tells me this kind of stuff. And I don't believe this Bible. Well, it's just sad. And then same thing in verse 8. It tells us about these lying words that cannot profit. Cannot profit. Look at the size of these churches. Mega churches. Look at the size of their bank account. Maybe we could get you to work for one of these churches a little bit in the treasury thing. You're so good at slipping the 50 in the drawer. You know, that kind of a thing. But it says they cannot profit. Where do they lose their profit? Judgment seat, if they're even saved. White throne judgment. They're going to get nothing out of that. So they cannot profit. Some of you guys, we're friends with people that are living their life based on lying words. And it looks like they're profiting. Their kids might be happier. Their kids might be involved in youth activities more. They may be, in some cases, they're better kids. Because they have no authority scrunched out on, so they become their own thinker. And for a while, they may look like they're doing better. But the Bible says those lying words, they cannot profit from those lying words. We have to remind ourselves. Scriptures are always right. We have to remind ourselves. May not look like it, but that's what the Bible says. Here we go. Verse 27, Jeremiah 7:27. Boy, I sure thought we'd get further than that. Well, that means next Sunday school is done already. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them. And as we have seen at the fair, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And we see that. That's just what we see. However, we had a few come in, and we had a great day yesterday. So yesterday was a marvelous day. Plus, we had a good time amongst ourselves, Bible study, men kind of talking and stuff. That was good. Here's one, Jeremiah 11, verse 8. And all we can do is show them the Bible. All we can do is tell them about the Bible. 11, verse 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. That is so what people do today. You don't have time to read your Bible, you're going to follow your wicked and deceitful heart. We are. We are. We have nothing else to follow. What's the one word that explains what they're following when it says the imagination of their evil heart? What's the one word we hear a lot? They are trusting their heart. Okay, it begins with F. Feelings. I hear that word all the time, feelings. Well, I feel, and they say, well, I hear them in my, I can just feel, I can tell, and I just know, kind of a thing. Okay, imagination of their evil heart. And in that day, their father would bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. They're going to have trust in the imagination of their evil heart today, and they're going to end up in the lake of fire today. Okay.